This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, October 12, 2022, Feria in Trinitytide, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Woe to you.
The words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be accepted by sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Notice Jesus not accompanying the Pharisees and the lawyers where they are. He confronts them. Woe to you who do this, do that. We have to understand that Jesus Christ will reproach you. He reproached them. He will reproach us if we do not do soul searching and do in accord with his will. And his will is to do things in a proper manner. By say a proper manner, I don't mean dotting the I's and crossing the T's of commandments and precepts. I'm talking about in a proper manner of living the life that you're supposed to live, not talking about it, not making a show of it, but living. This is why our Lord is reproaching, correcting, rebuking the Pharisees. And notice the Pharisees and the lawyers are the religious leaders of his day. So notice they do not respond to the Lord. Well, one of them does kind of speak up, and our Lord spanks him right down again. They don't say, we're the religious leaders at the time. You have the Holy Spirit's not working through us to give us the authority to say this or do that or other thing. No, they're confronted with Jesus Christ's words, and they don't like it. They don't like it. This is a lesson for us in this day. Like I said, this negates completely this whole idea of accompanying people where they are and all this the niceties that we hear nowadays. It's a matter of confrontation. Confrontation with the gospel to others. Not arbitrary, not subjectively. This is not what we're about at all. We do not subjectively. We do not tell people and correct them with our opinion of things. This is why I always say you shun the first person singular. You're talking about your faith. You should never say I think, I believe, my opinion, none of that. You say scripture says, you say the traditions of the Catholic Church have always been, the magisterial teachings of the Catholic Church have always been. That's what you say. Because then their argument's not with you. They know the authority of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees, the lawyer, they've seen the miracles. They deny it. They've seen it. They know it's there, but they deny it. This is Jesus confronting them with that. Woe to you, Christ. Why is he on them? Because you tithe mint and rue in every herb. Most of us, if I put piece of paper, I said, what is rue? I could almost guarantee that there's not too many people in here that would have, that would have included me, a few years ago before I really got into this. Rue is a bitter herb that was used for medicinal purposes and not all that frequently back in the day. Jesus Christ he's confronted. You give tithes of mint and rue. Why is he criticizing that? Well, aren't they supposed to give tithes of everything? Not this stuff. You're supposed to give tithes of 10% of like the first fruits of your crops, your wheat, your figs, your things like that. These little side things, like the law doesn't say anything about that at all. These are rules that the Pharisees came up with. They're rules that they came up with in order to, they showed it. Yeah, you give tithes of 10% of mint and rue, these inconsequential, insignificant things, you give them. And so why? Why are they making a show of this? So other people will give 10% of everything they have, because guess who gets part of the 10% that comes in? These guys. They have these ulterior motives. You know, because he confronts him. You give 10% of these inconsequential items that the law doesn't make one mention about. You're going to do that, and you pass over judgment and the love of God. You pass over the charity of God, the manifestation of you judging rightly amongst your people. And when you judge rightly, you do it in commensurate with the mercies and grace that God has always. That's a New Testament thing. No, it's not. It's Old Testament, God's grace and his mercy, and he wants them to live that life, and they're not. They're not doing it. They're making a show of their life. Because you love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and salutations in the marketplace. It's another woe to them. You want people to look at you favorably. You want people to respect you. You want to be popular among people. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born in a stable, born of a virgin, into a poor family. He was just, it was the antithesis of our Lord, showing off or being ostentatious. Even when our Lord performed tremendous miracles, raising little girls from the dead, send everybody out, except her parents, Peter, James, and John. He limited, even when he did fantastic works, he never showed off at it. And here are these guys. They want the best seats in the synagogue so everybody sees them up front. Want to be called rabbi and lauded and given salutations in the marketplaces because you never want to pass by the rabbi and not say anything about it. They like this stuff. This was what they were all about. It says, you are sepulchers that appear not, and men walk over them not aware. What's that all about? The Levitical law was that if you touched a grave or a dead person, you were defiled, even a grave. If you touched a grave, you were defiled, you were unclean, and you couldn't go to the temple for a certain amount of times. You had to do ritual washings and all these things. And Jesus is saying, you are sepulchers that appear not to be sepulchers. Because one of the duties of the dead that we should even maintain to this day is the upkeep of graveyards. So they look like a graveyard, that they don't get overgrown with weeds and all this kind of stuff. Because if that happens, then you can't even tell their graves. This is what Jesus is talking about. You guys talk a good show, but you are making people unclean and they don't even know it. They don't even know it because you are like a grave that's overgrown. So he's talking about becoming, you know, these people, the people around you, they're becoming unclean without even knowing it. This is something we have, like I said, this stuff applies in our day. Well, Bishop so-and-so said this. Well, Father so-and-so said that. We're living in a day where that is almost meaningless. Almost meaningless. This is coming from a priest. You cannot rely on somebody having a collar that what they say is, I mean, I hear nonsense all. What do you mean missing mass is a sin? Father so-and-so said missing mass isn't a sin. Father so-and-so has spoken heresy. This is a commandment to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, the Lord's day. It's church law that you have to go to mass every Sunday and every holy day of obligation. It's a sin if you don't, a grave sin if you don't. So just because Father so-and-so said it doesn't make, well, I miss mass on Sunday because Father so-and-so, when you get to the judgment seat, they go, what did Father so-and-so say about it? That is going to fly. We need to know our faith. Just like back in Jesus' day, there are things that are happening that people are becoming unclean without noticing it. Because so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so said there might not be a hell. Darn, Jesus sure talks a lot about it. That's the reality. Okay, people are becoming, people's souls are in danger, and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. This is a sad thing. They're like these Pharisees. They exact on small details. We don't want you doing this. We don't want you doing that. We don't want you doing this. Better not go to a Latin mass. Why not? Well, you can't go to a Latin mass, but you got to meet everybody else where they are. No matter how rank the sin may be, how grotesque the lifestyle may be, how much of an affront it is to God. But, you know, they're okay. You got to meet them where they are, but don't hang around with those Latin mass people. This stuff is real in our day and age that Jesus is confronting. Like I said, one of them does pop up, a lawyer. I guess the lawyers were sitting around going, well, we're not the Pharisees, you know, he's really getting on them. And I mean, then the thing starts to, you know, the Jesus' remarks start to kind of, and this lawyer would be, Master, in saying these things, you reproach us also. Oh, I'm sorry, I want to worry about your human dignity. Jesus gives him the, what we would refer to, yeah. Well, you reproach us all too. Yeah, woe to you lawyers. He gets, you brought it up, I'm going to get on you too. One commentator says this about this particular passage and the Pharisees and particularly the lawyers' response. The commentator said, how miserable is the conscience which, upon hearing the word of God, thinks itself insulted. You think about that for a second. When you confront your wayward family members or your friends for not going to Mass, what do you get? Who are you to judge me? I'm not. Scripture does. The tradition of the church do. The perennial magisterial teaching of the church does. I don't. How miserable is the conscience when confronted with the word of God finds itself insulted? You insult me. Happens all the time. Heck, somebody lived here one time and wrote a 3-page letter to the bishop about me. He this, he that, he that, he that, he said this, he said that. They actually only verbatim, they put one quote verbatim that I said, and it was, and before I said that quote, I said, these are not my words, these are the words of Pope Benedict XVI. When confronted with the word of God, these people find themselves insulted. I actually told the vicar general, he goes, what's going on with this? I said, probably the first time she ever sat in a church before and had a priest look at her and said, this is what you need to believe, and there are consequences if you don't. You know, this is the confrontation with the gospel. You know, any servant of God has to present his word. You know, well, we better not talk about hell because people don't like to hear about that. Don't talk about sin because their little daughter is doing this or their nephew's doing that. Can't talk about it because they might get upset. How miserable is the conscience which, upon hearing the word of God, finds itself insulted? This is this lawyer. What are these Pharisees and lawyers doing? They're trying to manipulate people. They're trying to manipulate people by showing how holy they are. How holy they are, not how holy God is. They're not pointing them to him. You need to give this. You need to give that. You need to do this. You need to do that. Now, you need to pay attention to God's law because God has given his law not to make you good people because God knows what's good for you. Because God is a good and merciful God, and he wants to do things like that. This is the presentation. But the presentation is a confrontation. If you're not doing the things that God said, there are going to be consequences about it. And if you care one lick about anybody's soul, you don't let them stay in that position where they're on the broad road that leads to destruction. I mean, the most gross exhibition of self-righteous superiority is to endeavor to bind someone's conscience. We don't bind anyone's conscience. Every person, God doesn't bind your conscience. You have free will. You have free will. You have free will to do whatever you want. You don't have to, does he put a ring around your nose or does he strike you down because you don't come to Mass every Sunday? Nope. But there will be a reckoning for it someday. Because if you bind someone's conscience, if you make them love you, oh, God's all powerful. Why did he make everybody love him? That's not love. That is not love. Love has to be voluntary. Love has to be something that you offer to another person. This isn't about, you know, making you do things. And here the Pharisees and the lawyers are making people do things, putting burdens on them that they won't even adhere to those burdens. So when we look at this, you know, this attempt to bind consciences, your wayward family member or friend doesn't go to Mass anymore and you confront them with it. If, well, you know, who are you to judge me? What does our Lord say about that? He says, knock the dust off your sandals and go about your business. Why? Because they have free will. They have free will. We cannot bind their conscience to do anything we should not. I mean, there are people all the time who go, well, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that because I just feel led by the Spirit. Well, if you do that, your soul's in danger. Well, I have to do that. May God have mercy on your soul.
And I sat in my office and said those words to people. That's just a reality. But, you know, what am I going to do? Oh, no, I'm putting handcuffs on you right now. I'm putting handcuffs. No. No. You're going to do what you're going to do. I just pray for them. We cannot bind people's conscience, but this is what these people are trying to do. I mentioned that whole Latin mass thing before. I don't want to get into that one too much, but I mean, because it's an example that everybody knows about in our day and age. Some people are bound by their conscience to attend the traditional mass of the church that has been celebrated for the past over millennia. It's an apostolic mass in its structure, which the new one is not. But, oh no, why are we binding people's consciences? You know, we celebrate the Latin Mass occasionally around here, but not all the time. So I don't have a dog in that fight to say, you know, that's like the best thing in the world. I mean, it's not our Mass. We use Latin in the Mass, some parts of it, but, you know, we don't do the Latin Mass. And so it's just a prime example of this. It's a prime example of this, trying to bind people's consciences. And it doesn't matter if you're a religious authority or not. You cannot bind people's consciences. This is just a reality thing. Particularly, how can you bind somebody's conscience and tell them they shouldn't be doing something the church has done for 1,500 years? Jesus reproached them. He's going to reproach us in the present day, either here or in the judgment seat. Hopefully, it's here, and he can correct your ways. This is a reality of what Jesus is talking about here. That whole passage is nothing but Jesus reproaching. Notice he didn't reproach them. Okay, I know I got on you, but I don't want you to feel bad now, so this or that. No, it stops there. It goes on for some more of him rebuking them, but it makes my point. Our faith is real. Our faith is real. God is real, and God has given us his will. I wish I knew God's will. It's called the Bible. Read it. It's called the precepts and commandments. Know them. That's his will. He wants you to live within accord because, again, he doesn't want you to be a good person. He knows what's good for you because he is gracious and merciful. And we need to point everybody to him and not to what we do. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.